Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2014 Home Education Conference held in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
This is the high school question and answer panel, and we are very lucky to have several of our speakers to join us again for this. So let me introduce them one more time in case you haven't met them yet. Starting closest to me and moving farthest away, we have Misty Foxley, Teresa Handy, Susan Atwood, Sherry Bass, and Dana Wood. Let's give them a round of applause. They've taught us well today. All right, so the format for today, I'm Jen Wheeler. And I will be posing the questions that all of you have submitted earlier in the day. So I will take your questions, and we'll give the members of the panel who have something to add to that a chance to answer. And then at the end, if we have some time left, we'll see how that works. Okay, so the first question is there a certain order of history and science that you suggest for high school, biology, chemistry, et cetera, or world history, U.S. history, et cetera? And how do you handle that with multiple children at the same time? So who would like to answer?
For the science, what we did, we sort of followed the general curriculum of biology, then chemistry, then physics. But we had our two oldest children were 2 years apart. And when my oldest was ready to take chemistry, my youngest was in ninth grade, which would have been a biology year. But we decided that, hey, my husband was actually going to teach the lab. So we're like, if Dad's teaching the lab, might as well have the younger one just skip biology this year and do chemistry with his brother. So that's what we did. So his ninth grade year was my oldest son's 11th grade year, and they took chemistry together. The next year, they're ready for physics, and my husband also taught that lab. So then my 10th grader now took physics. And then when he was in 11th grade, my next daughter was ready for ninth grade biology, so then he took biology in 11th grade. And so that seemed to work. We put that on the transcript. And like I said earlier, BYU's never even looked at our transcripts, just BYU-Idaho for the concurrent enrollment as a high schooler. They looked at it. But so that worked for us. But, normally I try to go, you definitely want chemistry before physics because of the math. They need to be doing algebra 2 when they start chemistry just because it's math intensive. But then the history, we did the government stuff last because that was more heavy duty for them to understand.
Well, kind of on the heels with the testing and dual enrollment, if you're at the beginning of your high school road, and you think you have a science more oriented student, then you do need to early get in your basic biology if you plan to take like AP biology or chemistry of that sort. You have to kind of plan ahead so that when you're a junior or senior, you have the basics down so that you can take a more intensive intensive course. So that would be the only thing, is if you do think you want to go down an AP road, or even a dual enrollment road with some science in it, it would be good to have a basic down in your freshman, sophomore year.
I'm thinking about a class that I took here in Virginia Beach from Jay Weil, who used to be employed or hired by Apologia, but is no longer. He's on his own. And he writes all the science curriculum that we're familiar with. And he taught some classes. You may want to look them up online in our audio library, that were phenomenal. And the most important thing I think he said with science was that they need to align with the maths, so that you, when you have biology, you're taking algebra. Somebody mentioned that earlier, but I just wanted to add that in as a resource. Jay Weil was a great, great resource.
I have the four-year cycle. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. That's what we do through, so that keeps my younger kids and my older kids on the same ballpark, so that I'm not chasing resources for different levels of, for each level they're learning something different. And so that means that we do ancient history and biology and algebra for the high schooler, and then you have your Middle Ages and Renaissance, and then you have your explorers in early American history, and then you have your American government. That's how we would set up our things, and then we'd have the science would go concurrently with that, that follows the math, like everybody else would say. And so if I'm following that with my high schoolers, then that allows me to keep my younger kids doing the same cycle so that we're doing similar things, so that when I do a lab with the older kids, the younger kids can watch and they have a clue what's going on. And so it makes it much more interactive. And when our younger kids have their history nights, so everybody's dressing up as Romans, the older kids are willing to do that because that's what they're studying as well. They're restudying it again.
All right, the second question. How do I avoid the GED for my children? I want to avoid the negative stigma.
You just don't take it. It's as simple as that. None of us, I think all of us have had children that have gone on to college, and it has never been an issue at all.
Except at BYUI.
Not anymore.
Did they just change that again?
It's been changed.
A couple years.
No.
So it was because my son could not get in because he did not have the GED.
Well, my daughter, when she applied 4 years ago, she didn't have a GED.
He just did it this
year. Oh, this year they've gone back?
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
But now. Can you pass that down?
Yes.
Actually, Evan just got accepted, and they don't need it anymore now.
Okay, BYUI bounces back and forth. Sometimes you need it, sometimes you don't. It depends on who's in the registration office. And I'm serious, it does. And so my son this past year, when he applied to go to school, he was not accepted because he did not have the GED. And he went in and talked to them and talked till he was blue in the face, tried to explain to them why he did not want to take it, and they would not let him in without that class. Now, you can go just about any other place and not take it. It just depends.
So did your son take it?
No, he did not, because he was standing on principle.
I asked Jennifer Georgia about this. I know she's not on the panel, but maybe I could quote her. She said that when your children blow the ACT and the SAT out of the water, the GED doesn't matter.
But see, he did.
But then again, that doesn't answer the question. So.
Yeah, so I think it must totally depend on who you talk to, because...
Because
my son, he did the same thing, and they said, well, take GED or the COMPASS test.
Well, see, they told him he had to take all three.
So it depends on who you talk to.
Well, yeah, it does. And it depends on the year.
Talk to somebody else.
It depends on the year. It really does depend on the year that your child is getting into school, because I have gotten all of my kids up to this point into BYUI without a problem. And this was the first one. He's got the highest ACT score. He's blown stuff out of the water, and... this was a problem. So it really just depends.
But is there a negative stigma, I guess?
Well, it depends on the career path that you take. If there are certain careers where they look at that on your transcript and they say, okay, you must have, instead of being homeschooled, you dropped out of high school. And so it is a negative stigma. But it depends on the career path that your child's going to be taking.
I don't put my kids in BYU. It isn't because we planned it. One went to George Wythe, one went to SVU, one is now at George Mason, one went to the LDS Business College. Now, we take the GED, and I just tell my kids, stick it in your back pocket, don't pull it out unless you have to. So it's there if they need it. But we've never been asked for it for any of those schools.
If my youth did not take the ACT or SAT before their mission, can they still take it when they get home? The panel says they will deliberate and get back to you. Okay, so you have to be a high schooler. If you're out of school for more than 2 years, you don't take the ACT, you proceed with registration, talk to the registrar's office at the schools you're trying to get into. And there will probably be a college admissions exam. So there's the summarized version of that answer. Okay, next. Is it better to be well-rounded or to pick something and be really strong and go for it? This is specifically in reference to college applications with subjects, for example, like foreign language study, or 200 or 300 level, should you have your foreign language at 200 or 300 level by college entrance in order to improve your chances of admission?
That depends if you want to study foreign languages. If you want to study foreign languages, then yes, that would be appropriate. But if your child has no gift for foreign language and doesn't want to learn it, and they're going into some other field, it would not benefit them except that they can speak a foreign language. It would not benefit them for college.
Okay, for this next question, let me just add a thought. Tomorrow, we will have some very specific resources for those of you who are in need of some help with maybe some special needs issues. So I'm going to have the panel answer this question, and then if you're still in need of some further clarification about this or any other issue, please listen tomorrow morning during the opening address. I believe there will be an announcement telling you how to get additional help or assistance. Okay, so here's the question. One of my daughters is ADD. Do we need an IEP or 504 for the special services available in college? Has anybody dealt with that while they're in high school?
Not necessarily. It depends on some colleges will require you to do testing when they first start into their freshman year, and then they will get the special help that they need, and that's probably the best way to achieve it, because otherwise you're stigmatizing them before they apply for college. And so some schools are looking for that kind of stuff because they have a certain number of, you know, they try to diversify their schools. So I would recommend that you wait until after your child gets into college and then have them go to the testing, the student center to help, the help place at the college, which escapes my brain at this moment. The place where they do the testing and stuff like that. They have where you find the tutors and that kind of thing. Student services, that's what I'm looking for. So the student services and do it that way, because once that label is attached to them, that's going to follow them forever. And in some cases, that could be detrimental, because my kids have ADD too, and they've gone to school and they've managed to find other ways of getting the services they need without being labeled.
Really quickly, I'm going to interject here. I think it's also really important that you know the laws in your state. Okay, so please know what the laws are for your state. And know that we all have experience in the states that we have lived in. But if you come from a different area, please check to make sure you know what the laws are. Okay, this is similar to a question that has been asked earlier, but I think it's still valid for us to discuss. Do you suggest doing subjects individually or as a group with siblings during high school? What instances would you recommend individually, and what instances would you recommend as a group beyond just the subject matter?
I'll answer that. So in our home, math is an individual subject, because I want my kids to go at the pace that they're ready to go. So some are going to move faster than others. Science has tended to be an individual. Actually, most everything they do tends to be an individual. But constitutional studies, it's a DVD that we watch, and then they read. They do readings on their own, and then they watch the DVD with Earl Taylor. We'll do that in groups. You know, the kids do some things as groups. That way they can discuss it together and interact together and things like that. So for us, I try to get them to do things together if it makes sense. But if it doesn't make sense, I think we just had a beautiful example here from Teresa Handy. You know, if it doesn't make sense, don't force it, you know, because you can, one child can be kind of held back by another. You know, I've got a daughter that, you know, wants to get up first thing in the morning and make her bed and get right on her schedule, and she has goal setting, and you know, another child that doesn't think that way. And if I were to strap her down to him on a subject, she would go crazy, you know. So it's just what makes sense. Anyone want to
say something? I found a consumer's math class for my high schoolers to take together, because my younger ninth grader was stronger in math than my older child, and they're super good friends, so they would get in the car and go to this class together, and it was encouraging, fun. It wasn't 100% required for high school graduation, but it was one of the things where they learned how to do taxes and liens and loans and purchasing. And so finding classes like that where they can enjoy each other's company is great, but at the same time, they do have to go at their own pace. Science is fun to do together when they're younger. History is great to do together as a family if you're singing a timeline or something like that. But everything else has to be pretty much individual in my home.
When I have my kids do stuff together, it's typically the fun stuff. So we always do scriptures together, and we do family reading. And the older kids can stay and listen if they want to. If they have more motivated to go and do other schoolwork, they can do that. Most of the time, they are listening with half an ear, you know, even if they're doing something else. But for me, when my kids, when I was really tying the high school and the elementary school together, was when I had 9 kids at home and I was homeschooling 7 of them. And for my sanity, the only way that I could do that was to keep everybody on basically the same page so that my brain could handle all that information. But I was doing my high schoolers as they were all pretty much equal. The older one had some learning disabilities, so he was equal with the younger ones. And so as I moved them through high school at the same pace, you know, I had my first 4 graduate within like 1.5, 2 years, something like that. They all graduated. But that was a unique circumstance for our family because they were all equal in what they were doing. They had their individual stuff that they did, like their math, because they're individual, and some of their language arts was individual. But the core subjects, because it was just easier to muscle everybody through, that's what we did. Now, because my kids are more spread out, they're not on the same page. I don't have 4 of them in 5 years, so they don't do it. They're more individual. And like I said in my earlier class, every year is not the same. You know, what works one year when you have all the kids working together, that's great. And then the next year, none of their subjects match up. The interests that they have don't match, and so you don't do it that way. It's just flexible.
Do you know if BYU has dual enrollment online?
Like I said earlier, I love BYU Idaho's concurrent enrollment is what they call it. It's for high schoolers, but it's a college class, and it's only $30 a credit. So, but they only have like 6 classes to choose from. But if you Google BYU Idaho concurrent enrollment, you'll find that, and you have to apply for it, and that's where you have to have your transcript. And you have to have the ecclesiastical endorsement, just like you're applying to the university, but then you don't have to have the seminary endorsement. But you do have to go to the state presidency to get that done. And I just looked online. BYU Provo also has concurrent enrollment, but their classes, at least what I saw, was more like the $400 regular price. So I would, and we've loved the BYU Idaho concurrent enrollment. So it's for high schoolers that are still at home, but you take it online. And what's nice about it, it's not like the independent study that you have a year to finish. It's actually that semester, and you have to finish it. It's just like the regular courses you'll take there, and every week you have assignments due, and you're put in a team, and you're working online. So your child learns a lot of skills, leadership skills, working with others, and they have to take turns being a group lead. So it's a real college experience, but it's only $30 a credit. So we've loved that.
What age for that?
That they just started it a couple years ago, but it's junior and senior. At first they said high school, but now if you look online, it says junior for juniors and seniors in high school.
16.
And you have to be 16 is what you read.
Okay, I think someone in one of our previous classes indicated this problem that I'm about to share with you, but she's looking for advice or strategies on the following situation. Help! I just finished my 2nd year of homeschooling. My 12-year-old 6th grader wants to go back to public school so badly that he refuses to do work. He's creeping up on high school, and I don't want him to be behind.
Who wants to tackle that?
I wonder, every state is different. I wonder if you have a co-op. Okay. It's hard to answer that question because we encourage our children to pray about school every year. We want to make sure that they know the Lord knows that this is the right thing for them. And then we got to the point where we don't even ask anymore. This is just what we do. But But if your child is very unhappy at home and you want them at home, perhaps you have a co-op you could look to where your child would be, what's the word? Not responsible, but somebody else would have the, but they would be accountable. I guess maybe accountable work. They would be accountable to another adult for their work. So they're not necessarily doing it for you. They would know that they had to do it for you and someone else because you are the primary teacher, but perhaps a tutor or somebody else who could enter your home to change that attitude. Well, that's a hard one. Sorry.
We found, too, that definitely the co-ops, finding other friends, because that's the majority of our friends who were homeschooling that went to public school. I mean, sometimes it's other reasons, but lots of times it's that the child misses having friends, especially if they were in public school and then pulled out to homeschool. So we found that just always having some kind of co-op, some kind of group, even if it's just a field trip group every week, that they're fellowshipping with other homeschoolers, then they start developing friends, and then they don't have that need quite so much because then that needs being fulfilled.
Or maybe a chess team or a debate team, something they could get involved in.
We've lived in places where there were no other high schoolers that were homeschooling, and so when I would argue with my son about this, it was always, you know, it wasn't the academics that he was looking for, it was the friends. That's what he wanted. And so we started having a weekly party where anybody could come to our house that they wanted to invite, and I would serve pizza. And we would have these massive parties of sometimes up to 50 kids. Some of my more social kids would invite everybody on the planet. Some of my more quiet kids who only needed one or two friends would only invite one or two friends. So it really varied. Most kids need at least one person that they feel like they can identify with. And if they can't find that, they really struggle with staying home because they think that they're going to find that person out in this homeschool, out in the public school, which isn't always necessarily true. That's what I have found to be the most, the best way to solve that problem. And,
So the thought that came to my mind on that question was maybe seek out like a Nicolene Peck or someone like that can kind of help guide with parenting and attitudes with kids that have maybe an attitude that's formed. Because that question to me, and we could be totally wrong because we're not the parent, I don't know who this is and what the circumstances are, but it could be that there's a little bit of a power struggle here between child and parent. And prayerfully, we're already doing this, I know, but just trying to help get the family unified about the homeschooling, I think, is really important. And maybe it's more of a, maybe the parent needs to approach things a little differently in relating to their teenage child, you know, or something. The other side to that question is, you know, you're worried about your child keeping up with some kind of pace that is going to equate to a school at the end. And I'm really outside of the box on that, so what I think is that we're raising individuals and they have their own individual mission and their individual interests and pace and likes and dislikes and et cetera. And there are colleges out there that will take anybody, you know, and so, you know, just maybe you need to think more on the level of what does this individual child want, what are they trying to do, what you know, and not worry about whether or not they're keeping up with some, you know, society's pace. We should have this at this year and this at this year and this at this year, and then that gets us into this school at this time. If we trust a little bit in this and let the Spirit guide us as to how to meet that individual, they might be lagging a little bit now, but once whatever it is, the attitude or whatever the problem is for the child at this point gets cleared up And that might be something that's not academic. It could be something else. But once that gets cleared up, they can launch. They can, you know, they can launch into college level work pretty quickly. And a lot of my kids just transfer from junior, from the community college into the university. And so, you know, I had one daughter that just took biology for the first time in college. She didn't have it at home, but she did great. She was the kind of kid that needed to answer to somebody else for biology. She just moved at such a snail's pace at home that we finally just sort of gave up in despair, both her and I. But when she was in the college course, she got an A on it. She killed herself to get the A, you know. And I said, well, that's really great. I mean, you'll do it for them, but not for me. And I was giving you this awesome biology book by Jay Weil, and you're learning all this false stuff, you know, in this other class. But so, you know, but it just, you know, she's a right brain, creative musician kind of person that doesn't care at all about biology. And so, but she had to get it to, in order to get to her music school. And all of a sudden, she could see biology standing between her and her end goal. But she was, you know, like 18 when this happened. So I wasn't too worried about it when she was in 10th grade, and I probably should have been, but because I don't worry about keeping up with society's expectation of my kids, and I'm worried more about the individual child, I felt that Heavenly Father was saying everything's okay, and just do this and this and this instead, it worked out.
How do you choose curriculum for high school? It was very broad.
You ask a lot of friends. You find friends that have been homeschooling a little bit longer than you have, what worked for them, what didn't work, and then just start trying different things. That's what I've done.
I live in the state of Tennessee, and we're required to use an umbrella school to make everything that we do at home legal. And with that umbrella school comes a great resource of counselors that we can call and ask. And sometimes we're not allowed to be part of umbrella schools because of our religion, because they're Christian-based and they're thinking we're coming from a different angle than Christian. But they also are a resource. That doesn't, just because I'm not an umbrella student at their school doesn't mean that their counselors won't work with me or talk to me. And I can, I have called and asked, you know, what are your students' favorite science curriculum or what, something like that. So look around you, private schools, public schools that have any kind of association with homeschoolers could possibly be a good resource.
And also after I make a tentative choice, then I pray about it too. That helps me.
Okay, this is another question, someone seeking advice. It starts, help! I just finished my second year of homeschooling my 9th grader. I need to record what he did, but he only completed half a school year because of his lack of interest with the curriculum I chose. I didn't grade him on anything he did. His algebra math book has tests, but he hates algebra and says he doesn't need help for he doesn't need it for everyday life.
Sign him up for the ACT. You know they can take it 12 times. Well, first of all, I guess you have to know the individual child. Is their goal to go to college? And if it is, they need to look at, say, their college or their dreams website and see what they require for entrance. And I guarantee algebra is on that list. And if they go and they take the ACT and they see what is required and they don't do so great, that's a great motivator for them.
This is a rather lengthy question with several options, so bear with me a second. The dilemma. I have a bright, rising high school sophomore who needs academic challenges. He is planning on serving a mission. How do we proceed with college with regard to mission, dual enrollments, and scholarships? She has brainstormed several options, and here's what she says. Do I, one, graduate him early and send him to college locally? Two, keep him challenged but postpone graduation so he can apply for scholarships as a freshman. Three, dual enroll and just limit the number of classes so that he can go to college on time but apply for scholarships. Or four, how do we deal with mission deferment? I don't want to do something now in an attempt to help him progress that will sabotage him later. It's a really lengthy question.
We just finished doing the missionary deferment for Evan. I'm trying to think of the whole question with, thank you. Okay, because our oldest son was able to have a semester of college first before his mission, and we thought that was really helpful. And then our second son, because of the age change, he'll be 18 in August, and then he leaves in September on his mission. So there's just no time for him to go to college, and we had wondered about that. So he's been taking the BYU Idaho concurrent enrollment classes, and it was just amazing. Like I said, he was the group lead for this business class that had all these other college students and adults in it, and he was able to use his knowledge and succeed in that and just feel almost like he was away from home, you know, that he was so motivated on his own. So he got some of that experience. He applied for the colleges and then got accepted to them, and then once you get your mission call, you defer, and that actually will defer if he's going as a freshman and won't be able to go before, you know, won't be able to go to any college before his mission, then you can apply for those freshman scholarships before he goes after his mission. My oldest son, he also got scholarships for two semesters, but he could only do one semester before his mission. So they actually gave him the cash back once he said, I can't go, but, you know, missionary deferral. And then they gave him the money back for the second semester that he'll use, you know, when he gets back from his mission. But that's how deferment worked for us.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
And if they are someone that wants or enjoys a challenge, it is an ideal time to do dual enrollment. I think we covered in the class that you do have to weigh coming out of high school with 2 years of college, all your core under you, versus a scholarship. But if you're coming back from a mission and ready to be a junior, you're ready for the challenge if you've already completed 2 years while you're in high school. So that, but it is a more rigorous routine, and so they do have to be up for the challenge in order to be successful at it. But I have known of a couple that have done that and been on track when they return from their mission.
Okay, I take the opposite tack because my kids are late bloomers. And so at 18, they have no clue what they want to do. And so what a lot of people don't realize is that if it doesn't matter if you defer to any other university, in other words, if your child is ready to go to college at 18 and they've done their ACT test and they've done all that stuff and they're ready to get into school, any other college on the planet except for BYU or BYUI will accept them after their mission just as readily as they will before their mission, and they'll still be a freshman. If you're going to BYU or BYUI, it's a different story. But what most people don't realize is that you can be accepted, and as a matter of fact, you're put at the top of the list when you're a return missionary for acceptance into those schools. It adds just that much to your application. But if you are attending BYUI, they have a scholarship program that you go your first semester, and if you have grades that meet the certain criteria, 3.7 and above, you get a little bit of money for 3.7 and a little bit more and a little bit more with each level so that you can, for the next semester, you get your tuition paid for. And then if you do well on that semester, then you get your next tuition paid for. And you can do that all the way through school. So the only tuition you're paying is for that first semester. And that applies no matter whether you're a freshman, no matter what grade you are and what level you are in college.
How will standardized tests aligning with the Common Core affect student performance on them if they have been homeschooled? I don't plan to align my homeschool with curriculum with the Common Core. Will my kids still do okay? Anybody? All right, I'm going to answer this one. I used to work professionally with a lot of standardized tests. And my thought on this is, you are teaching your children to think, right? What's on the test is what's on the test, but you've taught them to think through those problems. So I think that you need to be aware of what's on the test if this is something that concerns you, and just make sure that you're teaching your children good strategies for thinking, and I think in general they'll probably be okay. In my experience, a lot of whether a child is successful on a test or not has actually very little to do with what's on the test. It has to do with whether they've been taught to think or not. Does that answer the question, I hope? Okay. So we have just a few minutes left. I'm going to start down with Dana at the end, and we'll work our way this way. If you have any last thoughts as the panel to add to anything that's been said today, we would love to hear that. I know a couple of you have brought things to share, and then we'll close up.
If I could leave you with anything from today, it's that you can homeschool your kid through high school. You can be successful. They can be successful. And it's a great option for your homeschool kid, and you haven't killed all their future by doing this.
My thought is I have a little tiny flashlight that I keep in my car. It has 9 little light bulbs in it, the neat little LED light bulbs, and you turn it on, and it's a good light if it's totally dark outside. But then we went to Costco, and we found a flashlight that had probably 25-ish of those little light bulbs, and we turn it on, and I mean, the beam would hit the back wall in this room, and it's amazing. And I feel like with homeschooling, we can turn that light on inside of our children and help them to shine so much brighter than someone else who is teaching them that is not praying, fasting, and looking for the Lord and the Spirit and teaching and inspiring your children. And I think homeschooling them through high school, you develop such a friendship with your child that is it's just the greatest opportunity ever. So I love it. I'm grateful for that opportunity, and I encourage you to hang in there. Some days are super hard, but just call a friend or go on a vacation alone. I also brought some portfolios. I didn't know if anybody needed to put their eyes on what that looks like. We're required to do these for our high school students. So if you want to flip through them, it's just the outline of a portfolio is 2 tests and 2 homework assignments per subject. So that's what's here. Feel free to look through it.
Also, where you are today and for the next couple of days is going to be one of the greatest resources you have over the coming years to re-energize yourself for it. It is a tough task, and you get to May, the end of a school year, and you think, I don't know if I can do it one more year. But being at the end of the road for myself, you can do it, and it will be one of the greatest blessings that you have in your family. It does. It changes your relationship with your children. And when you get to the end, I don't think you'll have regrets. I really don't. And they will be successful.
One thing that I remember being very nervous about, because we homeschooled from the beginning, how will they do in the real world, especially at college? And it was so exciting when our oldest went to BYU Idaho, and his grades were still in the A's, you know, and I'm like, how's it going? He's like, well, Mom, it's just like, you know, homeschooling, you know, because I would give him the resources, and then he was in charge of his education, and then we'd follow up with him just like his teachers were. And I talked with some other parents that their kids had been straight A, AP students in high school, and they went to college, BYU Idaho also, and they really struggled at first until they learned how to learn on their own. And I hadn't even thought that that would be a benefit of homeschooling, that because we homeschool, and then we usually have multiple kids that we're trying to deal with, we're not there telling them everything to do at every, you know, for every subject, and that they're learning how to learn on their own. And that will actually benefit you your whole life, and that they do turn out.
I don't know what to say. My sixth child, we have 6 children. My sixth child is 15 now, so I'm 3 years away from being done homeschooling and having kids at home and such. And we've got 5 of them now that are in either dual enrollment or have gone to universities. And, you know, they each have their own path to take, and The thing that I guess for us is that I would say is none of us regret it. I don't, my husband doesn't, and none of my children regret that they've been homeschooled through the high school years. In fact, you know, like I just taught in the class before this, we not only don't think it's been a disadvantage, but we think it's been a huge advantage. We feel like it's been a superior experience than anything they could have had if they had stayed in the schools. And, you know, and I don't mean to say that to knock what, you know, others are doing, but I just notice a huge difference in the way our kids can think, in the way that they manage their own lives, in their spirituality and their maturity. They interact with the community freely and easily. Their writing, whenever they do writing in their college courses, it's praised by their teachers. And I really think that it's not because we spent a lot of time on writing and grammar and such, because we didn't, but it's because they can think, you know, and they have a sort of lifestyle that breeds, you know, education. We're not really pushing the academics and you know, in a really hard way. We're trying to just live a very fruitful life, and we really do think outside of the box as far as what the public and private schools are doing. We've basically decided, hey, we're outside of the box. Let's like be free. And I'm not unschooling. It's not that. But let's pray about what, you know, with each child. What is it that you want to do with your life? And let us help you do that and achieve that. And I feel that all of our children have been very successful, although parents that would define success differently than us would probably not think they are. However, what they're measuring is more of peer ranking and types of schools, types of degrees, types of jobs and stuff. And what I'm measuring when I say success is what I think is the point of this life, and that's their salvation. And that it's what we covenant to do, to build the kingdom of God. And they're doing that as educated people, as wise thinking people with understanding. They have a broad understanding of a lot of subjects, but you know, our focus has not been really to follow on that path that everybody seems to think is the path to take. And so I know that might, if that's not what you're thinking, that might just seem really crazy, but I just feel that really grateful for those that are thinking the same way I am. I just want to just say that it's been the greatest path ever for us, and we love it. And I feel that we are thriving as a people, and I am excited as I see the decisions that my kids are making as adults, as they get married, as they provide for their families, as they raise their families now. I'm excited to see what they're doing, and I don't regret the decisions that we've made. And I know that Heavenly Father has helped us. He's really guided us and helped us all along the way. So,
thank you. Dear friends, thank you so much for having joined us today for this LDSHE Enrichment Seminar. I hope that you have felt cheered on and empowered. You can do this. And so let's give our cheering squad a round of applause. And we look forward to seeing you all tomorrow.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.